This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on the Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, July 6th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll get to all baseball later. But first, two big stories or non-baseball stories. First, out in London, England, at Wimbledon, Roger Federer, the number three seed, has defeated Novak Djokovic, the number one seed, 6-3, 3-6, 6-4, 6-3, beats him in four sets, the first time they've ever met on grass. Obviously, in years past, Federer has not been able to make it to the final at Wimbledon, six-time winner, now will be looking for his seventh. The third set was the key after they split 6-3 sets in the first two, and Federer was able to break Djokovic and win that. That led him on to winning 3-1. Very exciting match. I got to watch a lot of it on TV. Federer played amazingly well afterwards. If you saw the interview with him, he was very happy with the way he plays. Clearly, he's going to be confident. Now, Joe Willie Songa, who's playing in the other semifinal, beat Federer at Wimbledon last year, so Federer knows it's not going to be easy. But neither Andy Murray or Joe Willie Songa, who are now playing the other semifinal match, Andy Murray, of course, the British favorite, if he can possibly get into the final, if he ever won Wimbledon, it would turn the country on its head. No one from England has won since Fred Perry in the 1930s at Wimbledon, or any major for that matter. Andy Murray leads after taking the first set 6-3. He's the 4 seed, Songa the 5 seed. Very interesting final if it's Federer-Murray, because obviously Federer, a six-time winner, a big favorite at Wimbledon, will not be favored by the crowd if he plays Britain's own Andy Murray. And if Federer has to play Songa, again, Songa beat him last year at Wimbledon. So this is going to shape up to be an unbelievably exciting men's final either way. But, of course, everyone in England, I'm sure, is rooting for a Federer-Andy Murray final. And you'd almost like to see a Brit get a win at Wimbledon or any major. Again, Fred Perry is the last to win. I think it's 36. It might be 1935, but whatever. It's almost 80 years ago. And Andy Murray has been a fan favorite for years there, but has never been able to go the distance. Could this be his year? Well, we'll just have to wait. On the women's side, the finals, which will be tomorrow, the semis were yesterday, so the finals are already set for the women. The 6 seed, Serena Williams, beats Victoria Azarenka in straight sets, 6-3, 7-5. She's going to go to her 7th Wimbledon finals, as is Federer. Serena has 4 wins. And she set a tournament record with 24 races. She has 13 Grand Slams. She's going to have a big edge in the final. But again, when you see Serena Williams ranked or seeded 6th, it's not really, you know, she just doesn't play as much as she used to. But when she's on her game, I still think she's number one. And tomorrow she'll be playing Agnieszka Radwańska from Poland, the first Polish woman ever to make a Grand Slam final. She beat Angelique Kerber in straight sets, 6-3, 6-4. Radwańska, the number 3 seed. Again, Serena, the number 6 seed. But the big edge here is in Grand Slam titles. Serena with 13 Grand Slams. Radwańska looking for her first Grand Slam. So that'll be the women's final tomorrow. And again, the men's final on Sunday will be Roger Federer against either Britain's Andy Murray or Joe Willie Songa, who beat Federer last year. That's the big news right now coming out of Wimbledon. The other big news, and it's not any individual, although a lot of things are going on, is NBA free agency, as you know, is here. In the NBA, although you can negotiate with free agents now, no contracts can be signed until July 11th. Then the teams who have matching rights, like the Knicks with Jeremy Lin, we'll get into that in a minute, the teams who have matching rights have 72 hours through July 14th to match or not to match. But the biggest signing so far has been Steve Nash has decided to put on a Laker uniform. And again, they were playing some quotes from a few years ago on how much he hates the Lakers. He respects them but hates them. He can never play for them. They beat the Suns in the playoffs every year, going back to Kobe. And, of course, their big title runs under Phil Jackson. But now Steve Nash, I guess a change of heart for two reasons, according to Nash. His three kids live in Phoenix. He's also looking for an NBA title. There were rumors Nash might want to go to the Knicks. You might even know he lives in Manhattan in the city during the off season. But Steve Nash has signed a three-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think we talked the other day about Oklahoma City and Miami and how far ahead they were of everybody. But Nash on the Lakers, if they keep that team intact, they might take a run at Dwight Howard, but if they keep the team intact, even as is, with Kobe and Gasol and Bynum and Ron Artest, or Meta World Peace, and Nash to run the show, you know, yes, Nash is old, 37, 38 years old, but Nash has also led the NBA the last 3 years in assists. He might very well be the smartest basketball player in the world. He's led the NBA in assists 6 of the last 8 years. So you understand when he comes down the court and he has all these weapons to work with, the one of the greatest weapons ever in Kobe, and two big guys in Gasol, a versatile player, and Bynum, who's improving virtually month by month now. He became a big-time player this year, I thought. And, you know, if Ron Artest can stay in place or Meta World Peace can stay in place and not do anything really crazy, the Lakers, I think, have vaulted themselves back into contention. Now, again, are they athletic enough for Oklahoma City? Well, you know, nobody's going to check Russell Westbrook. Nobody's going to check Tony Parker. Nash is a very intelligent player. I think he can do the job. I think he propels them back into the conference finals. I would look for the Lakers and Oklahoma City next year. But Steve Nash does change the equation. He does want to win a title. As he said, if you heard his quotes after the fact, Phoenix was going in another direction. Essentially, Phoenix was not willing to commit a ton of money to try and win now. They're more in the rebuilding mode. So Steve Nash decides to, I won't say swallow his pride, but go against his prior statements. He did say even yesterday, he says, you know, I thought it would be hard for me to put on a Lakers uniform, but I spoke to Kobe, and I have a chance to win a title, and I'm close to my kids in Phoenix, and that's what I want to do. So Steve Nash signs a three-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. And again, he's lost a little, but he has not lost a lot. A lot of other things going on. Interestingly, Jason Kidd decides not to go back to the Dallas Mavericks. Instead, he decides to come to New York to play for the Knicks. 3 years, $9 million. Looks like he's going to back up Jeremy Lin. We'll get to Lin in a minute. But Kidd, whose numbers obviously have gone down tremendously in the last 3 years, but Kidd would be an excellent, I think, role model for a guy like Jeremy Lin, who, you know, it's very interesting now. I don't think people remember what Jeremy Lin did. He was the MVP of the NBA last February. Yes, it was only for a month. He was the MVP of the league. So people are not sold on Lin. I am. The question is, how good is he going to be? Not whether he can be a good NBA point guard. But Kidd signs 3 years, $9 million with the Knicks, walks away from the Mavericks, and really Mark Cuban just made an incredible misjudgment by letting Tyson Chandler and J.J. Barea go last year. And it looks like Dallas, Jason Terry leaving Dallas as well to take the mid-level exception with the Celtics. So Dallas, I don't know why they didn't keep that championship team together for at least one more year last year. But for whatever reason, they decided not to. So Terry leaves Dallas and goes to the Celtics. Jason Kidd leaves Dallas and goes to the Knicks. Now, Jeremy Lin, who you know his story. He was cut by Houston and cut by Golden State before he hooked on with the Knicks, was almost going to get cut by the Knicks, had to play almost out of desperation and then set the world on fire, albeit for a very short time. But Jeremy Lin has signed an offer sheet with Houston, the team that cut him last year, 4 years, 29 plus million, just under 30 million. But the Knicks have the right to match, and everybody is saying that the Knicks will match. Lin, again, I think the sky's the limit for him. A lot of people still down on him because he's a D-League player. I think some people, whether they'll admit it or not, are down on him because they don't think Asian Americans can play in the NBA. Again, if you watch what this guy did, even for the short time he did it, he's got a court vision that even the NBA, most NBA point guards don't have. If Russell Westbrook could see like Jeremy Lin, he'd be the greatest point guard going. But Lin can do it. Lin has quickness. Lin has ability. I think Jeremy Lin is going to be an excellent NBA point guard. So the word is that the Knicks are going to match Houston's offer. Houston offered 4 years. I think it's $29.5 million. It's just under $30 million. But the Knicks will match it. Lin will start. Jason Kidd will back him up. I have to say, as good as I think Lin can be, when you watch those NBA finals, Miami, Oklahoma City, it seems to me that the Knicks and virtually every other team are light years away. Again, I think the Lakers vault themselves back into the picture. I've said before, the Clippers, they need another guy. But with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, I think they can be in the picture. I think Miami's going to have a relatively easy time in the East. And they might get stronger because the word is now, well, it's not official, but Ray Allen went down to visit Miami. Apparently Ray Allen and Rajon Rondo of the Celtics don't have the greatest relationship in the world. A guy like Ray Allen, I think, can extend his career by just going to Miami, where he'll be one of those guys standing, taking standalone three-pointers like a Mike Miller or a Chalmers or a James Jones or a Shane Battier. And, of course, Allen shoots a three better than all of them and still can. He has to get healthy, but he won't be expected to do a whole lot. He will not be part of a big three as he was in Boston, but he's already got one ring. He might want to get another. Miami's the best place for him to go, but that is not official. It's still between the Celtics and Miami, and supposedly there's a third team that nobody really knows about, but Allen has not made up his decision. Other people who have, there have been some interesting signings. Brandon Roy, who you will recall, beloved in Portland, retired last year because of trouble with his knees, took a year off, and now has signed after 1 year in retirement. He signed a two-year, $10 million deal, but with the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is pretty interesting to me. There must be some story coming out that Roy was not happy in Portland because he was an icon in Portland, the guy who was an excellent player but always had knee troubles, so bad that he did retire, sat out last season, now he's back. But he does sign with Minnesota. I'm sure there's a backstory behind that that we'll have to try and find. Lamar Odom going back to Los Angeles, but not to the Lakers. He's going back to the Clippers. The whole Dallas thing with Odom was a nightmare. Odom never should have opened his mouth. He should have stayed with the Lakers. He's another reason the Lakers weren't the Lakers this year. But Lamar Odom is going to the Clippers. Is he the third guy when I talk about Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and Lamar Odom? Well, we'll have to see what Odom has left in the tank. He's a terrible matchup for other teams. He's an unbelievably versatile player out of Christ the King High School in Queens, New York. He's a guy who can do it all. He can handle it. He can score. He can rebound at 6'10", 6'11". So if he's Lamar Odom of 3 years ago, he might be that third guy. That would vault the Clippers up into that. You know, it looks to me at the top of the conferences, the West is going to be a lot tougher than the East because we've talked about the Lakers and the Clippers may be challenging Oklahoma City, and we haven't even talked about San Antonio. I thought they were on the downswing. They had a great season this past season, but not quite good enough. So Odom goes to the Clippers. The other interesting signing, this is by the Nets, maybe as a prelim to something else. Joe Johnson from Atlanta signs with the Nets. Joe Johnson, the quiet superstar. A lot of people in New York don't like him. They think he disappears. I totally disagree. I think Johnson, you put him in the right situation, he is a superstar. You can debate whether he's a star or a superstar now, and that's fine, but put him in the right situation. Now, can he play in New York? Can he play in Brooklyn? Well, that remains to be seen. I think he can. But if Darren Williams stays, and all the rumors are he is going to stay, and they make a run at Dwight Howard, if you show up with Joe Johnson, Dwight Howard, and Darren Williams, you're immediately the second-best team in the East. And they would be the one team, I would think, who could make a run at the Miami Heat. So a lot going on, a lot still to go, but those are essentially the big names who are going or are about to go. Again, everybody here is committed except Dwight Howard, who is a, you know, Orlando Magic now, but probably wants out after Stan Van Gundy gets fired, which is bizarre. And Ray Allen, another guy who you don't know exactly where he's going to wind up. But Nash in Los Angeles, Jay Kidd with the Knicks, Lynn probably with the Knicks, Brandon Roy in Minnesota, Lamar Odom with the Clippers, Jason Terry with the Celtics, and Joe Johnson with the Brooklyn Nets. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
This is WWE Superstar The Big Show.
This is Edge.
This is Stacey Keebler.
What up? This is John Cena. You're logged on.
We're logged on.
And you're logged on to Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk Network.com. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. Let's get to the baseball first. One all-star note. David Freese won the fans' vote. Freese of the Cardinals won the last spot in that all-star fans voting for the final spot, beating out Bryce Harper of the Nationals. And Harper was very good, and he's going to be an all-star many times. I have a big problem with him not making the all-star team. And I have a bigger problem with, like, Pablo Sandoval, somebody stuffing the ballot box for him. going ahead of David Wright. And I'm not a Mets fan. I'm a New York guy. But David Wright, I mean, the guy's hitting 354. He's been unconscious this year, all year, and has led the Nets to beyond respectability, frankly. The Mets at 45 and 38, something nobody ever really foresaw. In the American League, Yu Darvish is having an excellent year for Texas. He gets the last spot over Jake Peavy, and Darvish is having a heck of a year for Texas. Yes, Texas is 50 and 33, but Darvish has 10 wins, and you have to give him a lot of credit. He's done awfully well for the Texas Rangers. Now let's get to the games. Yesterday it was two of the top teams in the American League, the Rangers in Chicago, to play the White Sox. Jose Quintana was unbelievable for the White Sox. 8 innings pitched, only 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. Quintana now 4-1 with a 2.04 ERA. Kevin Youkilis hits a home run, and Youkilis has been kind of what you thought he'd be. I mean, he's played very well for the White Sox. 1-for-3 yesterday, scored both of the White Sox runs in a 2-1 game, including his home run, obviously. Ramirez drove in Youkilis with the other run. That was the difference. White Sox 2, Texas 1. I mean, for Quintana to hold this team, Kinsler had a hit, Beltre had a hit, to hold this team to 2 hits over 8 innings. Then Reed came in for his 12th save with a scoreless and hitless ninth. The White Sox are a team to be reckoned with. Everybody liked the Tigers in that division, as did I. But the White Sox have a very, very good team. Robin Ventura, a lot of questions about him as a first-time manager, seems to have the laid-back approach. Certainly the White Sox are responding to it. So give the White Sox credit. They're 45 and 37. They sweep the Texas Rangers. White Sox 2, Rangers 1, Rangers 50 and 33. We'll get to the standings if we have time in a little bit. A few other interesting games. Yesterday, Rays at Cleveland to play the Indians. Indians, another team now 4 games over 500, 43 and 39, trying to stay with the White Sox in a division with the Tigers, a very tough division. But yesterday, Rays at Indians, Shin-Soo Chu leads off the game with a home run off of Jeremy Hellickson. Travis Hafner hits his 7th. Michael Brantley hits his 3rd. Chu's was his 9th of the year. Those were all the runs the Indians got and all the runs the Indians needed, as Josh Tomlin pitched very well for Cleveland. 7 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 run earned, no walks, 3 strikeouts. Tomlin goes to 5-5. Hellickson pitched well, but not good enough. 6 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 earned runs. He's 4-5 with a 3.41 ERA, which is pretty impressive, frankly, in the AL East, his ERA, not his one-loss record. But Tampa simply can't hit. Obviously, Longoria not in the lineup, hasn't been for a while. You know, you go down there, Rossi, you shake your head. Jennings hitting 231. Carlos Pena hitting some big home runs, especially against the Yankees, but only hitting 197. Zobrist, who was up around 280 earlier, down to 247. B.J. Upton, 241. Luke Scott is now 0-39. Luke Scott's a very good major league hitter. He's 0-39, and the major league record is 0-46. And after going 0-39, his average is 194, so he must have been well over 300 at one point. Will Rimes at 238. Molina, the catcher, 195. Johnson, the shortstop, 274. Far and away, their leading average hitter. Sean Rodriguez, 219. Hideki Matsui pinch hit. He's hitting 175. Tampa just cannot score any runs. For Cleveland, Shin-Soo Chu had 2 hits, including that home run. He's hitting 295. Brantley had 2 hits, including his home run. He's hitting 282. Cleveland 3, Rays 1. Cleveland goes to 43 and 39, 4 games over. The Rays dropped to 43 and 40. Obviously, 3 games over 500. One other interesting game in the American League, the Angels beat the Orioles in Los Angeles. Angels 9, Orioles 7, Angels 46 and 37, Orioles 44 and 38. This Mike Trout is an all-star. He is the rookie of the year. He is playing better than Bryce Harper. Obviously, they're in different leagues, so Harper might get it in the National League. But the best rookie, make no mistake, is Mike Trout. two at-bats, two runs, two hits, two RBIs, and a walk yesterday. He's hitting .348 as a rookie. He's also leading the American League in stolen bases. He had three yesterday. He has 26 before the All-Star break. Give him a lot of credit. Angels 9, Orioles 7. For the Orioles, Matt Wieters hit his 12th home run of the year. Reynolds hit his 7th. Flaherty hit his 2nd. But it's not enough. Hawkins gets the win in relief. For the Angels, he's 2-1. Ayala takes the loss for the Orioles. He's 2-2 and 1 1/3. He gave up 4 hits, 2 runs, both earned. He takes the loss. Arrieta did not pitch well starting for the Orioles. In 3 2/3, he gave up 6 earned. Richards was not good at all for the Angels. In 4 1/3, he gave up 7 earned. But then it became a battle of the bullpens. The Angels win out. Angels 9, Orioles 7. One other game in the American League to take a quick look at. The Tigers beat the Twins. Detroit 7, Twins 3. Dotel gets the win. He's 2-2. The Tigers score 5 in the bottom of the 8th to win the game. Burnett takes the loss for the Twins. He's 2-1. Tigers struggling to get to 500, 41-42. Twins essentially out of it already at 35-47. Other games in the American League quickly. The Royals beat the Blue Jays 9-6. Hotchever gets the win. He's 6-8. Alvarez takes the loss. He's 5-7. And that's your American League recap. Quickly now to the National League. A few interesting games in the National League as well. The Nationals come back with 3 in the bottom of the 7th, 2 in the bottom of the 9th, to beat the Giants, trailing 5-1. They come back and beat the Giants. Nationals 6, Giants 5. Ian Desmond hit his 15th for the Nationals. Espinoza hit his 7th. Bryce Harper had a big day. Doubled the left center with it for an RBI. Single to right in the 9th to tie up the game at 5. Now, San Francisco tried to turn a double play to get out of the inning and send it to extras tied at 5, but they only got the force play. The throw to first was offline. So it's actually a game-ending force play. Washington Nationals 6, San Francisco Giants 5. Matt Cain pitched 6 2/3, 6 hits, 3 earned. But Garcia takes the loss for the Giants in relief. He's 2-4. Detweiler started, 5 innings pitched, 3 runs earned. Tyler Clippard gets the win in relief for the Nationals. He's 2-2 with a 1.78 ERA. Another interesting game, the Mets. I mean, the Mets, you got to give them a lot of credit. Not respected at all, still fighting. Mets come back with 2 in the bottom of the 9th to beat the Phillies 6-5. Papelbon blows the save. Again, hard, you know, if you watch that game, R.A. Dickey starts and he's terrible. 7 innings pitched, 11 hits, 5 earned. First time all year he's given up a run in the first inning. The Mets get him off the hook and eventually win the game. He doesn't get the win, but he goes into the All-Star break 12-1 with a 2.40 ERA. He really should be the starting pitcher in the All-Star game. Don't know if he will be or won't. Don't know what Tony La Russa, the NL manager, thinks of knuckleballers, but what Dickey has done this year is nothing short of sensational and unbelievable. David Wright, we spoke about him before, his 11th home run of the year. Again, almost at the break, he's got 11 home runs, 59 RBIs, and he's hitting .354, and he's not starting. But whatever. In the bottom of the 9th, Papelbon pitching. Phillies winning 5-4. Man on third, one out. Papelbon strikes out Nieuwenhuis, but then he hits Jordani Valdespin with a pitch. Then he walks the next batter. Then Murphy hits a hard one-hopper off of Papelbon's leg. It bounces all the way to the first base foul line. Murphy beats it out. The run scores to tie the game at 5. And then David Wright gets a bloop single. Yes, a cheapie, but it fell. A bloop single down the right field line to win the game. Game-winning, game-ending bloop single for Wright after he had hit the home run. Mets 6, Phillies 5. For the Phillies, Jimmy Rollins had an RBI triple. Shane Victorino had an RBI single. Hamels pitched 7 innings, gave up 4 earned. But the Phillies give back the lead. Hamels was in line for the win, even though he didn't pitch that well. Mets 6, Phillies 5. Now, Halliday's not back yet. Ryan Howard is in the minors playing games. Chase Utley has been, frankly, in and out of the lineup. He pinch hit yesterday and got a single. He's batting 304. He had a big home run against the Mets the other day, but they need all of those guys back to make a run. They're 37-47. The Mets 45-38, seven games over. Bobby Parnell gets the win in relief. He's 2-1. Papelbon takes the loss. He's 2-3. Few other National League games quickly. Marlins shut out the Brewers 4-0. Burley, unbelievable, gets the win. He's 8-8. Fears takes the loss. He's 3-3. Pirates 46-38. Beat the Astros 2-0. Karstens with 8 shutout innings. He's 2-2. Norris takes the loss. He's 5-6. Braves beat the Cubs 7-3. Minor gets the win. He's 5-6. Garza, trade bait, takes the loss. He's 4-7. Cardinals beat the Rockies 6-2. Lynn, an all-star, 11-4, gets the win. Friedrich, 4-6, takes the loss. Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 4-1. Evaldo gets the win. He's 1-5, his first win of the year. Miley takes the loss. He's 9-5. And the Padres beat the Reds 2-1. Street gets the win in relief. He's 2-0. Andrusek takes the loss. He's 3-2. Quickly to the TV tonight. Well, right now, Wimbledon, the second semifinal match is on. The women's final tomorrow, the men's final Sunday. Baseball tonight, Major League Baseball Network, Braves at Phillies, 7 o'clock Eastern. Yankees at Red Sox, 7 o'clock Eastern if you get the YES Network National League. Cubs at Mets, 7 o'clock Eastern if you get SNY, the Mets Network. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.